Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 4, the Word of God tells us, love suffers long. Now, this is not something that we often think of in terms of love, that it would suffer long. Usually we think of love in very human terms. In fact, you could say we think of human love versus God's love. And we tend to define love, even God's love, all too often as though it were human love. But God's love and human love are two completely different things. Human love is not actually love. It's often affection, and sometimes it's a subtle attempt at manipulation. Sometimes it's used as a currency rather than being what it claims to be. If you don't get what you want, then the elements of love, the characteristics of love, are not present. And a person pretends to love so long as they get what they want. It's not really love at all. But God's love is different. We are to have God's love one toward another in John 13:34. But it is very different than human love. Love suffers long. Some translations say love is patient, and that is not an inaccurate translation. But it's a unique kind of a patience. It's not just patience in general. Love suffers long. Kenneth Wiest translates this as, love meekly and patiently bears ill treatment from others. Now, meekness is not this cowering picture of, I'm nothing, I'm so meek, I don't think anything of myself, I will not assert anything. That's not meekness. I'm not sure what that is, but that's not meekness. Meekness is simply that I am humble before God. So humbly before God, and it is before God necessarily, humbly before God, and patiently it bears ill treatment from others. Now, sometimes there is ill treatment, sometimes there isn't. But that ill treatment doesn't necessarily have to be that somebody is attacking you or abusing you or what have you. It can also be simply something as simple as somebody is not doing things the way that I see them. Somebody is not living the way that I think they should. They're not making the decisions that I think they should be making. And maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. Love will bear with that for a long time. In humility before God. Now, in James 1:3, also in the Wiest translation, it says, knowing experientially that the approving of your faith, that faith having been put to the test for the purpose of being approved, and having met the test has been approved, produces a patience which bears up and does not lose heart or courage under trials. Be allowing the aforementioned patience to be having its complete work in order that you may be spiritually mature and complete in every detail, lacking nothing. Now, this word patience and the 1 Corinthians 13:4 word patience are two different Greek words, but they're not actually different. Just the word itself is different. That's not unusual. A lot of languages have more than one word for one thing. Hupomone is the word that's used here versus macrothumia in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Hupomone is general patience and is derived from the term for hopeful endurance. Macrothumia is more specific. It's really patience toward people. Endure toward people, and it's derived from the term for long-enduring temper. In other words, you're long to a temper. And so what we see here is really the same idea, one toward circumstances a little bit more general and one toward individuals a little bit more specific. But it's really the same idea. There's an endurance involved and there is also a hope that is involved, an endurance that hopes. The difference between these two is the exact same difference as you see in Matthew 22:37-39, the difference between loving God and loving people. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that all things are from God. And so if I love God, I will be patient in all things because all things are from God. I'm actually being patient toward God. And in the patience that I have toward God, God then has room to work on me and on my situations and to do all that He wants to do in my life. With macrothumia, it's the love your neighbor as you love yourself aspect of it, which is the same as love the Lord your God in Matthew 22:37-39. And this is talking about having that same endurance toward people so something can happen as a result of it. Now here's the thing about this. What is the thing that is going to happen? This is where patience becomes invaluable. You are called in Romans 8:29. To be conformed to the image of Christ. You are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is God's purpose for you. This is God's will for you. You are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. If I'm going to be conformed to the image of Christ, it's going to start with patience. Of course, love is patient. Because it is the manifestation of who God is. And that is His first characteristic. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the fourth that is mentioned, which is really the same fruit as the first mentioned, just various aspects of it, is long-suffering, macrothumia. So the Holy Spirit is the source of patience. It is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is macrothumia. I am patient with people because I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's not something that I can produce, and it's not something that is ambiguous, and it's not something that I do out of human goodness or because I'm a good guy. It's something that takes place when I'm Spirit-filled. The Word of God says in John 15:5, that if I abide in Him, and His Word abides in me, if we apply 1 John 4:8 to it, if I abide in the love of God and the Word of God abides in me, I will bear much fruit. Part of much fruit means macrothumia, long suffering. I will be patient because patience comes from the Holy Spirit. It is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes from abiding in Christ because it's from the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing about patience, if I'm to receive it from the Holy Spirit. Patience requires you to look away from yourself. This is why, if I am to have the love of God, if I'm to manifest the love of God, the first thing that has to happen is patience, because patience necessarily requires you to look away from yourself. In order to be patient, you cannot worry about your preference, what you think. You can't worry about self-orientation. Self-orientation and patience are mutually exclusive. In Ezekiel 28:17, the first example of self-orientation, the first instance of it in truth in history, in eternal history, is found in what happened to Lucifer. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and he corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. In self-orientation, he started attacking God in verses 15 and 18. He trafficked something because he didn't understand the character of God, and rather than being patient in not understanding God, rather than loving God with a holy patience so that he could learn what he did not know about God, the holy patience he required was not for the sake of God, but for his own sake, because he was a created being, he is not all-knowing, he does not possess all wisdom, and he is still very limited compared to God, even though the angels are greater than we are. And so, he became impatient with God when he didn't understand what God was going to do. And his impatience led to an angelic rebellion that caused one-third of all the angels to get kicked out of heaven in Revelation 12. Now, in Genesis 3:12, the man said when God asked him, "Who told you you were naked?" He said, "The woman whom you gave me." In this statement, he made two accusations. Why? He didn't have patience toward God, and he didn't have patience toward the woman. Because he had no patience toward God or her, he could accuse both of them. If he had patience, no accusation would come, because he would wait on God to reveal to him the things he did not understand. Just like Lucifer's sin. But he had no patience, and when God said, "Who told you?" He didn't say, "I have no understanding, God. I ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which you forbade me, and I have no understanding. I made this decision, but now I have no understanding of the consequence or where it's going to go." He didn't have the patience to do that. Instead, he covered himself in impatience. By the way, accusation is always the product of impatience. In impatience, he accused God and the woman, rather than coming out himself and saying, "God, I ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and now I don't know what's going to happen." In Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged." There is no difference between mercy and patience. Patience is simply mercy in action. Mercy is when I do not get what I deserve. That's what patience does. It doesn't give a person what they deserve. If God was impatient, there would be very few people on earth. But God is patient, so he doesn't give us what we deserve. By mercy, you could say mercy applied, mercy in action, patience, and truth, iniquity, is purged. Iniquity is self-orientation. It will often have an emotional manifestation. By patience and truth, the word of God, which is truth in John 17:17, iniquity is purged. How does that work? Because of patience, mercy applied, in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. In Genesis 3:10, The man said to God, I was afraid. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. The man became self-oriented, and out of his self-orientation, he became fearful. But by mercy, by patience and truth, his iniquity would be purged. Our life is characterized with patience and truth coming toward us from God. Everything that happens in our lives, whether we see it as positive or negative, doesn't make any difference at all. It's characterized by patience and truth coming toward us from God. As we go through that process, over time, sometimes years or decades, self-orientation becomes purged from us. Now, in Adam's case, self-orientation led to fear. Why? Lack of patience. He was afraid. Why? Because he was aware that he violated God's prohibition. He didn't anticipate the patience of God. But God was patient with him. However, Adam did not anticipate that. And because he did not anticipate it, he was afraid because he anticipated negative consequence. Had Adam understood the patience of God, he would recognize that there is no condemnation. Now, in order for there to be no condemnation, the blood of Christ must be properly applied. God taught Adam and Eve doctrine in the cool of the day. That's why he was looking for them. He was going to fellowship with them, teach them, commune with them in the cool of the day like he did every day. They understood the meaning of the blood of Christ. Hence the reason why just a few verses later, God killed the animals and made them coats. Because they understood blood sacrifice. Now that blood sacrifice, and this is the foundation of patience, because it is the foundation of mercy. That took place in Revelation 13:8 before Adam and Eve were created. It was, in the original language, the literal structural foundation, the slain lamb, hence the cross and the blood, of all that was created, all of space, all of time, and all that populates space and time. Therefore, mercy or patience has always been available. It is the structural foundation for everything that exists because it is the result of the blood of Christ being shed and space-time being built upon that crucifixion of the Savior. So Adam knew what the blood was. But in self-orientation, he became condemned because he was no longer oriented to truth. And God had to reorient him to truth. The rest of Adam's life was spent being reoriented to truth. In our case, it's the same thing. Mercy and truth. Patience and truth. God is very patient with me. He will not condemn us. He will not charge us. He will not accuse us. Other people will, sometimes even believers will. But God will not. God will never say a negative thing toward you. He may convict you, but it's never in negativity. It's always life imparting. He will never accuse you of anything, even if he does convict you. He will never stop being patient with you. He will simply work through the Holy Spirit, applying truth in your life, in John 16:13, to bring you to the place where you need to be, to conform you to the image of His Son. It's based in mercy, patience, and truth. If I do not have the patience of God toward me, then I will have no capacity for the things of God. Patience produces capacity in people. Sometimes people say, I have no capacity. You need to run to the mercy of God, to the patience of God. You need to run to the reality of no condemnation, the reality of the blood of the Lamb. Why is it that I have no capacity? The places where I have no capacity are the places where I live in self-orientation, even though it may be subtle. If I say I have no capacity, well, there's a little bit of an issue with that. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We're one with the love of God in Romans 5:8. We're one with the person of Christ in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. We are the new creature. We are seated above in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6. We're already there. What do you mean you don't have patience? What do you mean you have no capacity? What do you mean this is too much for you? What do you mean? It means, whether I realize it or not, that I'm living in some area of self-orientation. If I say I have no capacity, God has all capacity and I'm already one with God. If I simply wait upon the Lord, look to Him, receive instruction from Him, follow Him, then I renew my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that He will withhold from me. And if I abide in His love and His word abides in me, I can ask anything that I want and it'll be done for me in John 15:7. What do you mean you have no capacity? What does that begin to mean to a Spirit-filled Christian? We're nothing but capacity. Unless we're all self-oriented. In self-orientation, I don't have patience because I have no fellowship with God. I have fellowship with my emotions. I have fellowship with my circumstances. I have fellowship with my insecurities. I have fellowship with Satan's world system, but I don't have fellowship with God. That results in all kinds of problems. In Adam's case, he became afraid. But if I am in fellowship with God, I live in patience. Because I live in truth. Self-orientation is cast out by no condemnation, resulting in the patience of God and the Word of God permeating my frame of reference so that God's thoughts become governmental in my life. And therefore, I no longer live in self-orientation. Iniquity is purged. In Romans 5:3, we glory in afflictions. Okay, let me ask you, do you have any afflictions going on in your life? They may be afflictions within your health. They may be afflictions within your family. They may be afflictions among the company you keep, your friends, your associates. They may be afflictions within your church. They may be afflictions on your job. Do you have any afflictions? I think most people would say, even if they don't say I have any right now, yes, I have had afflictions. The reason why you have had afflictions is because God brought them to you. Why did He bring them to you? Because affliction, and this is in the literal translation, Affliction works out patience. Works out is the Greek word katergazomai, and it means to accomplish, or it is that by which something results. Affliction is what God uses to produce a result. That's why the affliction is present. No matter what the affliction is, affliction is what God uses to produce a result in you. And the first result of affliction is patience. God works patience in you, and He does it by means of affliction. Then in verse 4, patience works out proven character. Proven character is the Romans 8:29 character of God, conformed to the image of His Son. That is the character that God is building in you. Proven character works out hope. Hope requires patience. An impatient person does not have hope. That is one of the reasons why they have no hope, is because they have no patience. If they had patience, they would abound in hope, because the two are connected. So the person who has no hope needs patience. Hope, being confident expectation, does not put us to shame in verse 5, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, that is our frame of reference, through the Holy Spirit given to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings you the afflictions. The Holy Spirit then uses those afflictions to produce patience in you. That patience then builds God's character in you. And now, because you have God's character, you have a confident expectation, which then results in the love of God being poured out in your frame of reference. In Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. Now, what is the promise? In Jeremiah 29:11, the Word of God says that God knows the thoughts that He has toward you, thoughts of well-being, not of evil, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts of grace and not of evil, thoughts of love and not of evil, thoughts of patience and not of evil, thoughts of mercy, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That expected end is the promise. What is the expected end? What you have been called to. You have been called, you have been predestined ahead of time to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, in order for me to live in this, I have to trust God. In order for me not to cast away my confidence, I must trust God. Patience is required if I'm going to trust God. If I don't have patience, I also will not trust Him. You could say, if I don't have mercy, patience is mercy applied, I will not trust Him. If I don't trust Him, I will have no confidence. If I have no confidence because I don't trust Him, I'm going to stifle the work of God in conforming me to the image of His Son. And then He will have to bring another affliction to produce patience in my frame of reference. In Ecclesiastes 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. When things happen, when circumstances go against you, when the afflictions come, when the trial of your faith arrives, and it will arrive, better is the end than the beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. When that comes, know that the outcome will be better than the start of the process. Why? Because God knows the thoughts that He thinks toward you, even in the midst of the affliction. Even in the midst of your difficulty, even in the midst of your problems, even in the midst of your issues that you have at work or in your family or with your friends or with your health or whatever it happens to be. In the midst of those things which God did bring, all things are from God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, they really are. In the A part of the verse, all things are from God. God did bring them so that you can be developed. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The proud in spirit in Habakkuk 2:4 is going to lift up his own opinion, his own emotions, his own self-image, his own consciousness of what's going on as he's walking by sight. And he will not live by faith. That is the proud in spirit. However, the just live by his faith. In Romans 1:17, that is a process where I go from one level of faith to another, one application of faith to another, one application of the Word of God in my life to another. And as I go through this, in my affliction, it produces the character of God in me. It conforms me to the image of his Son. Now, why is that so important? That God would say that all born-again believers were predetermined before God created time that this would be the plan for their lives. It has to do with the purpose of your creation. You were created for the manifestation of the love of God. God, who is love, had no means of expression without us. And so God created us so that his love could be fulfilled. Now, Adam and Eve were the picture of God and us. And God had them become a man and a wife. And now marriage became a picture of God and us. God created Eve because it wasn't good for the man to be alone. The animals did not suffice. God created us because we are a reflection of Him, so that God would not be alone. But the angels did not suffice. Why did the angels not suffice? Because they were not adequate recipients of the love of God. They were perfect. A true, adequate, pure recipient of the love of God has to be imperfect. If someone doesn't need patience, then what is patience? If somebody doesn't need the mercy of God, then what is the mercy of God? But the love of God is first merciful. It's first patient. It first suffers long. It endures. It doesn't charge us with the things we should be charged with. It endures. It doesn't condemn us when it could condemn us. It doesn't judge us when we could be judged. It doesn't do this. However, if there is no one who is imperfect, then there's no one to be patient with. It takes someone who is imperfect for the perfect love of God to be manifested. So God created us. He didn't create us just so He could have more friends. There were already hundreds and hundreds of millions of angels. He created us so that He wouldn't be alone. But the angels could never be like God because the angels, albeit they were perfect, were still created. And because they were perfect, love could not be expressed in the fullness of what it is. But when we came, something imperfect existed after the fall. And that imperfection could receive the patience of God. The foundation of that patience, the foundation of forgiveness from God, the foundation of redemption, the foundation of an entire relationship that we have with Him became the foundation of all things created. Because on that foundation at the cross, that which was imperfect could be perfected by the blood and the union that took place at the cross. The imperfections were cleansed. The union took place. The death was passed through. And then all we had left was oneness with Him in the life of God when He rose again. This was the result of patience. Why is patience so important in my life? Why does it even matter if I'm patient or impatient? Why it matters is because this is the entire foundation for your relationship to God. It's found in patience. The mercy of God saves us. When that mercy is applied, it's the patience of God. And so what does it matter? I'm either fellowshipping with God or I'm separated from Him. That's what it matters. I either have God's patience or I have Satan's impatience. That's what it matters. People who are habitually impatient, they think that it is coming from themselves, but it's not. They are a reflection of Satan's own impatience, because that's where impatience comes from. Just like people who are fearful, they are a reflection of the fear of Satan, because that's where fear comes from. People who are critical are the reflection of Satan's accusations and criticisms toward God, because that's where criticism comes from. People who are insecure are a reflection of Satan's insecurity before God, because that's where insecurity comes from. But love is of God. And therefore, the first manifestation of love, the first characteristic that love possesses, is also of God. And that is patience. What does it matter if I am patient or impatient? It's all the difference that God makes. That's what it matters. And so don't ever underestimate the value of patience. It's not just on putting up with something. It's the life of God is flowing through me. In Romans 15:4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. In Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How are we to be like-minded? We have to have the mind of Christ. Patience is required if I am to have the mind of Christ, if I am to think the thoughts of God. Patience is required. The thoughts of God are thoughts of love, thoughts of good, not of evil. Thoughts of grace, thoughts of compassion, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of patience, not of evil. Why? He is love in 1 John 4:8. And love, first of all, suffers long in its patience. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.